Welcome to Green Gaming, a podcast from William Hill International, an online gaming company with brands like William Hill, Mr. Green, and Redbet in its portfolio. This is the podcast where we discuss the transformation and innovation of the gaming industry. I'm your host, Andreas Utterström. The topic of this episode is how to attract tech talent. With me here in the studio is Lisa Skinner Kjellström, Chief People Officer at GameTech.
Yes. Welcome. Hi, thank you very much.
So what is GameTech?
We provide the technical platforms for the brands, as you mentioned, Mr. Green and Redbet.
So what is the biggest challenge for you attracting tech talent?
There are many different challenges, and I would say the biggest one is to get in touch with people, making sure that we have a pipeline of candidates. And then, of course, the challenges is to attract them. Every candidate that we meet have at least one offer already in their hand. So we need to, of course, make the right assessment of the candidate, make sure that it's the right fit from both the technical and a personal point of view. But of course, also sell the company to the candidate and make sure that we are telling them the truth about what we're doing and attracting them to us.
But let's start with the thing you mentioned at first, which is finding those people and getting them into the room. So how do you do that? Tell me more about that.
We have to work with different channels. Of course, we have a career site, which is out there, where we present a lot of information about us, a movie, personal presentations and so on. But then, of course, we work with a lot of social media. We are active on LinkedIn and Instagram and so on. We work with a lot of suppliers, partners who are active on the market for us. Contact candidates through different medias, meet them at meetups or other events. And then these suppliers contact us and try to connect us with the candidates. So we have to be very, very active in all the channels. We work with the employee referrals, where we give our employees an amount of money if they refer a candidate who we then hire.
And has that been efficient?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the channels. I would say around 15% of the people that we hire come through our internal referrals.
And as you mentioned, tech companies in Sweden are fighting really hard for tech talent. So what can you offer that other companies can't?
Good question. What we want is people to choose us not only for the best benefits or the highest salary, but for the culture. So during our interview process, I would say it's the most important thing to really show who we are. And we do that by we always have three interviews, and we try to introduce the candidates to different parts of the company. Of course, the teams that they will be working in, the managers and also people from the management team, to really show the variety of people. And of course, I mean, as I mentioned, I don't want the salary to be the thing that tips the candidate. But of course, I mean, I want the benefits and the whole compensation package always to feel attractive as well.
But this is almost like dating, because of course the person sitting on the other side of the table is thinking, well, I'm sure she's putting on her best face now, but what is this company really like? So how do you try to give the best and introduction of your company?
I think by having the interviews, we have a different focus on all the interviews to make sure that we are covering like the personal side, both of our company and talking about how the teams are working and so on, but also to make sure that the candidate feels that we're talking about all the aspects, not only their technical skills, but also, I mean, how do they work in a team, how do they want to develop and so on. We have been, even though the competition is very, very high. We have actually chosen to turn down candidates who are only here for the technology. We have met candidates who don't really care about the culture and say, I only want to work with this cool solution and I want to be the owner of my own code and so on.
And why isn't that enough for you then? Maybe they are super smart and among the top people in the world.
They
isn't that enough for you then?
Of course they are, but I mean to us the culture and the team spirit is so important. And I don't think that profiles like that would be happy in our company, because how the teams work here is that they share so much information. They do a lot of pair programming and coding where you sit together. And we help each other grow by sharing the knowledge. If you've learned something new, the teams are so quick and open to share it with each other. So I don't think a person who would only want to work with their own code and take care of his or her own development wouldn't be happy, I think.
So you talk about culture. That's a phrase that almost has a kind of mystique to it. So what do you actually mean by culture?
I think it's what you feel when you come into the office. I mean, we have our core value, which is to always be a cut above the rest in whatever we do. We have some behaviors that can describe this value as well. But I think, I mean, it's the feeling that you get. And that's what many candidates say as well when they choose between us and another company, that the team spirit is very, very evident when you come into our office.
What's the most common questions that they ask you?
The candidates?
Yes.
Good question. Of course, they ask about benefits and salary and so on.
So here we go again then.
Yes. Yeah. but also, they talk a lot about development. What is the next step for me? How will I be able to have a good development, personal development in your company? What is the next step after this? And it doesn't mean that everyone wants to become a manager or so. But they want to know what's expected there.
Mm. So what's your comeback if someone says, no way, this is a sleazy industry, I don't want to contribute to gambling addiction, for example?
We get that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if the competition in the tech industry is tough, then you can add some extra difficulty for us in the gambling industry, of course. So I get that and we respect it, of course. But I also want to then, when I face that, to talk about that we're not just one of the gambling companies. I tell them a lot about what we've done in Green Gaming, that we've been around for 10 years, and that, I mean, the Green Gaming is so evident in everything we do. I would say I was one of those people myself. When I was contacted by GameTech, my first reaction was never, ever, I don't want to work in this industry.
Is that so?
Yes, okay. Of course. But then I did my research and I met with the company and then I landed on the other side, saying that if I want to work in this industry, this is the company I want to be in.
And is this something you tell the candidates?
Yes, yeah. I do, absolutely.
But is it your sense that they are open to these arguments, or is it hard to make someone give your company another chance if they have sort of already made up their mind about the gaming industry?
I would say it varies. I mean, some people do have this really strong core value or character, and then I don't want to force anyone. I don't want someone to, you know, do something they don't feel is good for them. But although I feel that they do listen when you start talking about the history that we have, that we have actually been around for 10 years. It's not just a startup among all the others, and all the evident work we're doing with Green Gaming and so on, all the awards we have achieved and so on. Then some people can actually, okay, but this is, I want to know more. But of course, those type of candidates can also be more, I wouldn't say demanding, but I notice that they tend to ask even more throughout the process and want to have some like evidence, okay, but how does this really, really work? Which I think is good and something we welcome. Mm.
So how do you try to attract female talent?
It's a challenge, and I wish we could. I could say that we've done better. At the moment, we haven't got that many females working in the office, unfortunately.
How many would you estimate at the moment?
It's around 15% at the moment. And I think, I mean, one thing is just showing the company culture. I mean, it's not just only looking at women, but showing that we are an employer who can really sort of accommodate female men, people with disabilities and so on, that we are flexible in our approach, that we have benefits who support all different types of groups. So that is one thing to be clear on our company values and so on. One thing that we have done is work together with a partner called Smart Coding, and they educate only women in programming. So what we've done there is sponsor them with not only money but our time as well, where some of our developers have been there and had some presentations and sort of workshops together with these women. And now we're also looking at another partnership with a similar organization.
And has that partnership been successful?
Yeah, it has. And actually, we had a candidate in the interview process, and he was choosing between us and another company. And then it turned out that a relative of his was actually working for this organization, which made him, when he found out that we were the partner, it made him choose us because he felt that it gave such a good symbol on what we were doing and so on. Mm. So I think, I mean, it's not just looking at the direct recruitments that you maybe get from a partnership like that, but also the brand and what we are symbolizing as a company.
It's often said that the millennials is a very special bunch, that they are idealists, they want to do good in society and so on and so forth. Mm. Is that something you agree to? Is that just talk from an older generation that feel confused about young people?
No, but I agree. And actually, I would say that most young people that we meet, they take it for granted. And they don't ask, like, do you have any corporate social responsibility agreements? They ask, what type of corporate social responsibility programs do you have? So that is something that we've listened to. And we have a partnership also with something called Nolla Utanförskapet, and they provide homework hubs for students who come from deprived areas outside of Stockholm. So what we've done is to offer these students to come into our office once a month, and then they come a group of 10 students. It's the same group the whole time. And they come and we help them with our homework. So there are volunteers from us. We do this in the evening. And we sit down together and it's not our job to solve their homework, but to coach them. And it's been fantastic. We've done this now throughout the past year. And it's so nice to see the relationship that forms between the students and our employees. So that's one way to sort of be involved and give back to society. And it's been fantastic to see that not only have they all raised their grades, but it's been all of the volunteers from our employees have also said that it felt so good to be able to participate and see the kids grow. Many of them have never been to an office in the city before and maybe don't have the support from home and so on. So it's been a fantastic experience for all of us involved.
So give me some other typical millennial candidate questions.
Can I work from home? Can I work from Southeast Asia? What else? Of course, they want to choose their equipment. It's not okay for us to just give them a set list that this is what you're going to get, but they want to choose the make of a computer, Mac or laptop or iPhone or Samsung, and can I add some extra features and so on.
And this is generation. So if you have a candidate in my age, I'm born in 1978, I will not be asking those questions.
No, I don't think so. I'm born in 1980 and I didn't ask it either. I was grateful. Okay, do I get this new laptop and the phone? Perfect.
And so when someone has gone from candidate to employee, how do you get people to stay?
That's a good question. I think one important thing is the sort of thing there in between. When you sign someone, you often have a 3 months notice period. So I think that period is crucial to start with, because we know, I mean, our competitors will not stop contacting these candidates, even though they have signed with us. So one part is to work with pre-boarding and onboarding. And what we do there is to connect the candidates to us during this period. Everyone gets a buddy, which is someone from another team from us. And this buddy gets a budget so that they can meet with the new employee even before they start, and have lunch or coffee and make sure that they get to know the company before, and also sort of establish a relationship together.
So it's some kind of bonding process.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Bonding. And then, of course, as a, I mean, you hire, you're invited to all the after works or social events before you join. And then before someone starts, we always send a small box of chocolates 2 weeks before they start, to make sure that they are really eager to join and say that we are missing them and looking forward to the start date. And then when they start, I mean, it's you get a program as well for your first couple of weeks, where it's clear what you are, what meetings you're to participate in, and other things to make sure that you feel welcome.
Is it possible to overdo these things so it almost feels like, you know, it's not genuine love bombing?
Yeah, I think so. I think you have to be very clear to the candidate. I mean, you can participate in this if you want. Mm. I think it's important to make them feel that they are included. But of course, to have respect for, I mean, someone is still working at another company and, you know, might have a lot of things to finish there.
So it has to be optional.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But just to know that you are included if you want to.
So what is the churn rate for employees today?
We are around 15%, the attrition rate. And of course, it goes a bit up and down during the year. Normally for us, I mean, you have the salary review during summer. So I can tell that it's a bit quiet before that. But then, of course, maybe you get your salary and then you're not happy. And then you might think about doing something else after the summer.
So 15%, how's that compared to other companies in the business? Do you know that?
I'm not sure about the industry, actually. But, I mean, our competitors are not only in the iGaming industry. It's the whole tech scene in Stockholm. And I would say that the figure is quite similar, depending on the size of the company and so on. I would say around between 10 and 20% is normal.
And is there any way to get that to lower, or do you think that's just the way it's going to be for a couple of years now?
No, I mean, and to answer more on your question there about keeping keeping the talent, I think there's a lot more we can do. And what we talked about initially in one of the questions from candidates as well is on development. How will I develop here as a person? And that is something that we are working on now, to provide more clarity on what will be expected during the employment. And that is something that I see in other companies as well, that even though not everyone wants to become a manager, of course. But I think what I see is that everyone still wants to know the next step. And what is expected if I want to raise my salary or regardless how I want to develop, that is defined. And that is something that we've spent a lot of time on this past year, to make sure that we at least identify, if you want to call it a career ladder or career stage or whatever. But just to know that where you are now, this is expected of you. And if you want to take the next step, this is what you need to.
Yeah, it sounds like law firms where I've heard that after a year, your salary will be raised with X, and then this is expected of you, and then the next step, and the next step, and this is stated very clearly during the first interview. It sounds like you're working on something quite similar.
I would say similar, but on a much lower scale and not so complex, and of course, in a language that developers and tech people appreciate. We're talking a lot about the technical skills and so on. So I wouldn't pull it that far to compare it to the consultancy firms or law firms, but of course, just have some sort of clarity on what you can expect moving forward.
And how often do you get questions about when can I become a manager or something like that, from people who are a bit impatient concerning their own career?
I don't get the manager question that much. I've worked in other industries before, and I think I got it there more than here. Here is more about taking responsibility and sort of becoming more of a technical expert, I would say, and become a role model. But also, I mean, when talking about keeping talent, one thing is the development and to offer that, but also of course we listen a lot to our employees. We have a pulse survey which is sent out each month, where employees give us feedback on their engagement. It's different questions every round, and the managers and myself, we get like the live feedback, so we can track it every day and see how we're doing. The employees are able to provide anonymous comments, which we then can reply to and have a dialogue. So we try to be very, very active and proactive when we see that certain sort of topics are coming up and so on. Of course, we cannot make everyone happy with someone might want a ping pong table and someone wants something else. But you can very, very easily see signals of like stress and so on. So that is a tool that we're working with as well to make sure that we are listening and having a close cooperation and dialogue with our employees.
And how do you part ways in a way that will make ex-employees good ambassadors for the company in the future?
I think this is just as important as we talked about the onboarding, and it's something that I think a lot of companies and HR departments, including myself, have not been working with so much. I think that there's a huge potential to make the offboarding experience even better. And I think it's something that we are struggling with as well as a growing company. When we were smaller, we were able to really sort of give each person who was leaving attention, and we used to have coffee the whole company together and send them off. But now that we're growing, we're not able to do that in the same way. So what we're doing now is really making sure that we thank the person who is leaving. We have them up on stage and make sure that we really appreciate their contribution and make it really personal to say something about what the person has done through his or her employment, even though it's been a long employment or a short employment, and make sure that we really thank them, because I mean they have all invested their time and energy in our company. But I think, I mean, I would like to do even more there. We have actually just started to print these alumni sweaters that we give everyone who leave, and we hope to work with that community even more. And even though that you left, that you're still invited to come to afterworks and so on, and make sure that we are growing the Game Tech family, not only with the people who are here, but the ones who have been here before as well.
Hmm. So if we meet here again in 5 years, do you think you still will be facing the same challenges as today?
Kind of. I think, I mean, if we are to grow and reach our targets, we need to think differently. I think that, I mean, if we just look at the research and the data and universities and so on, I mean, we will not be able to match the demand. So I think that, I mean, we will have a challenge, but we will have been forced to find new ways to solve it. And I mean, I think that we are very, very flexible here. We are hiring people from different nationalities. We have 15 nationalities in the office at the moment. We don't require Swedish at all, and we supply people outside Sweden with work permits and so on. But I think the flexibility and what the millennials and what even the next generation, the digital nomads, as I hear that they're called, with the flexibility and be able to work from wherever in the world, we need to accommodate that in some way. Otherwise, we won't be able to grow. So I think the challenge will be there, but it will be slightly different. Not only talking about salary and benefits, but a wider context, I would say.
Last question. What's the best thing about your job?
Wow, there are so many things. It's hard to choose one. Can I take two?
Of course, and it's quite telling that this was the only question that made you speechless.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. No, I love my job, and I think in my role here in GameTech, I mean, I get to work with everything that has to do with our people. It's from the positive sides of recruiting and giving someone an offer to maybe other aspects of HR where you have to have more difficult conversations, of course. But I would say the variety of that and in this particular case, a lot of freedom in my role to take initiatives and get support from my manager and the rest of the team. So it's hard to choose.
Lisa Skinner Kjellström, thanks for sitting down and doing this interview.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This is a commercial content production for William Hill International. Read more at commercialcontent.se. I'm your host, Andreas Utterström. This episode was produced by Mattias Bergman and edited by Andreas Karlsson. Stay tuned for future episodes and thanks for listening.